This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 282 for Wednesday, August 15th, 2018. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. Joining me tonight, Mr. Ryan Murphy from The Gamers Inn and Zombies Ate My Podcast. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hello, it's good to be back. I think this is a new record.
I think so.
Being back in record time. It hasn't been 6 months. Oh God, has it been 6 months?
It hasn't been 6 weeks.
Man, I was a little worried there for a second.
No, and we just talked about you last week because Lou was on.
Yeah, I listened to that episode. Yeah, I seem to come up a lot on this show. It's which I'm fine. I'm flattered, really. Yeah. I think Lou's a really awesome person, and we do Zombies Ate My Podcast together. And I look forward to each week we'll have a conversation about whether we're recording. And then I always look forward to that. And then I also look forward to the fact when we actually, all of our schedules align, like the planets.
Yep.
Except it's not the apocalypse when the planets align in this scenario. Yeah. It's just a new episode of ZAMP.
Yeah.
I joke, I kid Lou and Bob. Bob's a very busy guy. I'm a very busy guy.
Oh, everybody's busy. I mean, Lou's got a new house. He was talking about that last week. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the podcasting people that I know have got children, you know, so there's that. And currently it's summertime. So if the kids are school age, there's no school. So there's a lot of juggling, I think, with schedules that are happening right now.
Yeah. I had a great conversation with a friend today. Just, I had to call him to kind of get some information, for work stuff, trying to build a backup system, a RAID hard drive system. I'm like, I don't know. I haven't done that since like college over 10 years ago. So cool. I don't really remember what's the best and what I should buy. And he kind of walked me through it, but we ended up talking about, you know, just having kids and the differences between having kids and other people who don't have kids, like when it comes to just playing video games. So, I mean, we'll talk about it in a bit, but like just the process of staying up late to do something geeky and how the next day is immensely affected by staying up past 10 p.m.
Yeah.
You know, I'm up every day at 6:30, whether I like it or not. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if the kids, again, when the stars align and the kids wake up at 6:30 and they just are content in their cribs, you can maybe stretch that to 7 o'clock, but you are, your alarm clock turns into babbling basically, which, I mean, it's not that you're ignoring it, cause that would probably be not a good thing to do, but you're kind of leaning into it and you're like jamming on. Yeah. They're babbling. Oh yeah. They're talking to each other. And it's quite, I'm rambling, but it's quite cute when you think about it,
yes.
But you don't get any additional sleep. You just get to lay there for an extra half hour.
Well, and sometimes that's nice. I did that this morning. You know, my alarm went off at 6:30. I had planned to go out for a run this morning, and I did, but I didn't go until 10 to 7, 7 o'clock, just because I hit snooze a couple times. I thought, like, I'm awake, but I'm very comfortable. And it's very rare that I find that I wake up after sleeping where I'm comfortable staying in bed, especially if it's been warm as it has been lately. So I'm usually up and out because I'm more comfortable to just leave and get going. But this morning I just, you know, sometimes it's nice to just chill. And I didn't go back to sleep. I didn't fall back asleep. I didn't open up my phone or check, you know, the internet or anything like that. I just kind of lie there and I feel like the window was open. There might have been some birds or something going, just anything that's just kind of relaxing. It's nice sometimes to do nothing.
Yeah. Just to absorb, just being able to lay there and kind of just chill. It is nice. But yeah, it's one of those things that you come to terms with when you can't sleep and it's like, oh, maybe I won't be able to stay up. I mean, that doesn't stop you sometimes. It definitely doesn't stop you. I mean,
so what's been keeping you up lately?
Well, in a good way, Battle for Azeroth came out this week. So the newest expansion of World of Warcraft. And I'm one of those folks that resubs every 2 years when the expansion comes out. I've been playing World of Warcraft since high school. I remember watching the trailer for World of Warcraft in high school and then seeing and then subscribing to it. Maybe it was high school. I remember pretty vividly watching the trailer because we didn't have high speed. So watching video at home was like, it just wasn't something you did. Mm-hmm. there's no patience back then. There's no patience now, but when it comes to high-speed internet at the high school, we would watch these videos, and I remember watching the trailer, the cinematic trailer for World of Warcraft. I'm like, oh man, this looks so cool, because I love Warcraft. Mm-hmm. So I always check in. I don't play regularly. I don't sub nonstop. I'm not a lifer. I'm sort of a casual jump in, experience the story, jump out.
That's kind of how I play too. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like the drip feed. I know some people live by the drip feed of content that comes out, but I can't do it. I just don't have enough time to devote to one game that way.
I don't know that I've ever completed an expansion.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what you... I think now when you look at an expansion, there's the initial sort of dump, you know, of content where it's like all of the leveling content, some dungeons and some raids. And then there's these patch milestones that come out starting, you know, I think the first one would probably land around December, and then the next one would be spring, and then and fall. And then they get more and more sort of spread out to the point where like, okay, they're going to announce another expansion. So it's one of those things. I would expect us to see like another, you know, expansion trailer, not this year, but next year, because they seem to be on that warpath. But with this one, I've been really enjoying it. I've been sort of playing. I picked it up Monday, so that was the other thing. It had a worldwide launch. So in order to facilitate that, it actually launched on the 13th, on the Monday night here in the Eastern Standard Time. And nice. I was able to play it. Like, kids go to bed at 7. So actually it launched at 6. So I was able to play it like an hour later, jumped in, had a great time. You know, I made the stupid mistake of buying an energy drink and some snacks. I mean, we're talking about you know, food and sweets and stuff, so I went a little overboard on that front. I had like a serious case of heartburn the next day because of all the crap that I put in my body. But I stayed up till about 2 a.m. just playing World of Warcraft, and Ashley, my loving, supporting, awesome wife, just as I said to her, like, look, this new expansion is coming out. I'm going to take the day off tomorrow. It'd be really great if I could just get a pass and, you know, sleep in a little bit, help with the kids a little bit. And then she was already planning to go to her Oma's to visit. So I would have a stretch of the day to play. And yeah, I was just really, really digging it. It feels like every expansion that's coming out, it's great to be playing again. It's great to be experiencing that story. And actually, funny enough, for the first time in 10 years, I switched from Horde to Alliance to experience the other side. I'm not one of those folks who's like, you know, Horde's the best, Alliance the worst. You know, I don't mind that I've switched sides. I mean, I haven't switched sides. I'm just experiencing it.
Yeah, you're playing the other side. Yeah. I started Alliance. When I first started playing World of Warcraft years and years ago, I started a Night Elf, as I think most people do. And then I rolled a human warlock. I even had like the 70s porn mustache kind of vibe going.
That's half the fun of playing as a human.
Yeah. But then I moved and did a long running character as a knight. Blood Elf. Blood Elf Paladin. And I really liked the Paladin, which is why I stuck with the Blood Elf for so long. I wasn't a fan of the twirly animations that the Blood Elves do, because Paladins of other races are a little bit sturdier in terms of how they move and stuff like that, in terms of your RP experience. But I had a hard time moving on from the Blood Elf just because of the time investment. Like, that was a 1 to 100 character, pretty sure. 1 to 90 something. What was the other one? Warlords came out. That's the last expansion that I played. So I haven't played Legion at all.
Oh, okay.
So I only got part of the way through Warlords. I really enjoyed Warlords. And I was playing for story. I tend to play World of Warcraft like a single player game. Like, I kind of go through the quests and stuff like that. So, and I'm not... I'm going to ask you this as well, but I'm not one of those players that blows through the content in like the first week. Are you someone that just plays and plays and plays and plays, plays until it's done? Or do you like pacing yourself?
I'm not rushing through it by any means. I'm interested in the story. I wanted to do an initial, you know, get it out of my system play. I've been resubbed for a week, and I did a bunch of like sort of pre-expansion content with the new, I boosted a character. So when you get, right, you buy the expansion, you get a free boost. So I boosted a Draenei Paladin to 110. First time playing a Paladin as well, really enjoying it.
Palis are fun, and I love Draenei.
Yeah, the Draenei, I've always wanted to have a Draenei character, but I've never actually, you know, gotten past the starting zone. Mm. So I'm really glad that, you know, with the boost capabilities, I've been able to check that out. But yeah, no, I just wanted to sort of get it out of my system, and now I've put about 13 hours into the character in the last week, and that was just like all I was playing. You know, every time I got a chance to, you know, 3 hours here, 2 hours there, once the kids went to bed. And then the initial, like, you know, 10-hour stint over the last 2 days. But basically, I right now I'll go into a mode where I'm just kind of playing when I get a chance. And the cool thing is, I mean, if you play, I don't know if they had it in Draenor, but they definitely had it in Legion, where you can do your questing system sort of with your followers. You can do it from your phone. So I've been sort of micromanaging that from my phone, and I log into quest, but I'm not looking to hit max right away. I'm just sort of chilling, experiencing the story.
Nice.
Sure, I'll probably see a couple spoilers here and there, but it's not the end of the world. Like, this is the start of the story. I'm sure like the major spoilers will come,
right,
you know, down the road, months to come, when they add, you know, the middle and the end to the story that is Battle for Azeroth. Right.
So I think they had that in Warlords, the mobile management. I just don't think my phone that I had at the time was capable. I'm pretty sure that was the caveat. Because I remember doing those, but I, working from home, I don't often have to do that kind of stuff via mobile. I can usually just, you know, log in real quick. Or even if I had a second machine, which I would have had for a while. Because the last time I played Warcraft, I was using a friend's PC laptop. Because my old MacBook Pro was not able to run some of the Blizzard games as good as it could, or as good as an experience that I wanted to have, and it was affecting gameplay. I think it was Heroes that I was having trouble with. I don't play that anymore either, but the PC that John lent me allowed me to play Heroes, but then also really played WoW quite well. So I could log in on that and do like have the little side quests going, and then like every, you know, hour or so just kind of walk over to it and send some guy on his own thing. So I never needed to do the mobile thing. I had forgot about those side quest things. Those were really neat, sending your followers and stuff to do things.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, I liked that aspect of Black Flag too, when you send your fleet to go do trading to make you money and stuff. I thought that was really
cool. It's just
cool.
Really satisfying. I don't know what it is, but it's like, it's got that free-to-play type of game feel where it's like, it's numbers going up and
project
it's micromanaging. Yeah, project management. And it's just really cool. And the fact that it does progress and affect your gameplay in some way, it's earning you resources or unlocking new, well, and WoW, you're unlocking new sort of skills that only benefit you in those new zones.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of make your gameplay a little easier or just kind of different. I don't know. I've been enjoying what I've been playing so far in Battle for Azeroth, but I'm a slow burn type person. Like I'm not rushing through just so I can, you know, get to the raid or get to the dungeons. I'm just experiencing what I want to experience. And that's what I do every 2 years. You know, I've come to the point where, I guess the difference between Legion and Battle for Azeroth is that when I was in Legion, I had only, you know, only Caden was born. So it was more like, it was still in that mode where like, oh, I can really juggle these two and be a serious, you know, WoW player. And I know there are people out there who have kids and are still serious WoW players. I'm not trying to say like, just because you have kids, you can't play WoW. But for me, because I like to play so many other games, I really just have to, you know, piece my time out. And yeah, I've accepted it with Battle for Azeroth. I'll play what I can and I'll sub as long as I feel is necessary. But at like right now, it's $63 for the expansion and $20 a month Canadian.
Yeah, to play this game. That is
it's
steep.
Expensive.
That is steep.
It's a bit much, you know. For me, it was definitely like one of those things where I think I'm gonna try to get my WoW time in the next month, mm-hmm. and then probably shelve it until the next patch.
Well, I mean, as far as like, you know, time in for cost, it's still a very affordable gaming experience.
It's affordable, and there's just a lot of content there.
Yeah.
Like if this is your game for a month, like you're set.
If that's what you're playing and that's what you're getting out of it all the time. And if it's the, like, for me, when I was playing WoW, it was basically the one video game that I had time for. I only ever seemed to be able to afford the time for one. And that was the one that I was playing. But one of the reasons why I backed away from WoW was because I found that the one regret that I have is not really establishing a group of people that I could raid with. I didn't really have an interest in it. And unfortunately, the way that they take the story is that really you can get so much out of questing, but you can't ever really finish the story or see the end of it unless you do specific raids. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that was my experience. I've never been a WoW player to the point where I had the best gear, or had the ability to put the time in to get all the raid gear. So I could do dungeons no problem, and you know, pick up dungeons with some friends. That happened from time to time. You and I have done it before, but the raid thing was always just out of my reach, and I felt like I was missing out. So I could never really finish the story. I would always get, you know, 90% of the way there. And then, you know, I can't remember what the big event was. Something about Orgrimmar, I think. The fall of Orgrimmar or the battle for Orgrimmar.
Yeah,
or
the Siege of Orgrimmar.
So I couldn't do that. Or I didn't. No. I didn't do that. I shouldn't say I couldn't. I was not able to find the time to do that. So I missed out on that. But the expense is one of the other reasons why I ended up not playing anymore.
They've done a lot to the game to cater to folks like you and I who just want to experience something. I think they call it looking for raid, like LFR.
Yes, yeah, I know about that stuff too.
It's a lesser, like, it's for folks like you and I who don't have time to devote to getting through the gear grind. And you go in and you basically, it runs you through the raid for you. It's still the raid, but there's lesser gear, and it's just to show you the story. But honestly, and you know, World of Warcraft is a 10 plus year old game. I think it's pushing 15 years, and it shows in the storytelling. You know, they've done a great job at developing these in-game cinematics, and you've obviously got the animatics they've done, as well as, you know, the cutscenes, you know, with the full computer generated stuff. But there are these instances where they've kind of tiered storytelling to, like, this is a story we want to tell with computer animation, this is a story we want to tell with animatics, this is a story we want to tell with a, you know, a touched up cutscene, and then this is the story we want to tell with untouched up cutscene, which is characters moving on screen, and then this is a story we want to tell with just voice, and then there's obviously the lower tier, which is just quest text. But like, those bottom three really show the age of the game, especially the untouched, you know, cutscenes where you're seeing these models walk through, and as they're talking, it's kind of like the Muppet flapping, like just distorted face, kind of trying to look like it's talking, and it shows its age. And they're trying. Luckily, they save more of the serious stuff for the very touched up cutscenes in game, and those look great. And they usually post those to YouTube. So most of the time, the cutscene you're working towards for the story gets posted to YouTube by the official World of Warcraft channel.
Right.
So it, for me, like, I felt like I got the story because I was experiencing it through, you know, my news feed and YouTube, and I didn't have to pay the $18 and the time as well to kind of keep up with it. That's not being said, like, people are having fun with it, but it's just, it wasn't for me. But I enjoy the leveling, and I enjoy the story they're telling. And that's what I'm, for if I get raid gear and I try to do a raid, I just can't do another "you must be at this place at 8 p.m.
yeah,
you know, once a week. I just can't add another one of those to my sky. It's either raiding or podcasting. I can't really do it all, but I appreciate the people who do it. I think it's awesome, and I've had fun raiding Destiny 2. I was playing a lot of raids in Destiny 2. I had a blast. So, yeah, but it's even easier to get in now. Like, I'm sure if I hit level gear, I could find someone that would let me join their raid. Because I usually only play DPS. And, I mean, DPS is pretty much don't step in the poop mode. You know, just burn them down. Don't step in this circle. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at.
And that with me, I was doing protection, I think, as my paladin. So I was the tank. So I had...
So you were
I
the
had,
tank, and, I had and work that's where do. You got to know your stuff.
Right? And that's the thing. And I enjoyed that. Like, for dungeons, it was doable, but it was more about knowing your rotation rather than knowing the dungeons, because dungeons, I don't want to say they're not challenging, but, like, they're pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
What I've learned, I guess... I must have done a raid at some point, but what I recall from that, or what I'm recalling from probably stories that I've heard on the instance or other podcasts about World of Warcraft, is that you really have to know the fight. Like, you have to know the mechanics of that specific raid if you're going to be, you know, a healer or a tank or whatever that role is that you're going to be that's key to the success of the group. And especially if you're one of many tanks or one of many healers that are going into the fight. But... yeah, I'm just living vicariously through people, and I love watching the cinematics. The stuff that they have with Sylvanas right now is just breathtaking. Like, there's I don't know the whole story, but there's a part of burning down the life tree or the it's one of the big important trees in Azeroth.
The world tree.
World tree. Sorry, I was close. And there's just these moments where she's thinking, either remembering or contemplating something, and the animation and the emotion that they convey, and all it is just her eyes kind of moving around. She's really stoic in the cinematic, and man, like, oh, they nailed that kind of stuff. I still wish that they had time to make a Warcraft movie that looked like that, because boy, would I go see it.
Yeah, I mean, I dug what they did with the Warcraft movie.
Oh,
I think
me too.
They did the best they could with the subject matter and the story they were telling. You know, I think that's one of the things that we forget is that the story they're telling now is built on 20 years of Warcraft, if not more.
Wow.
Whereas the story they were telling in the Warcraft movie was book zero, you know, or sorry, book one,
book
I guess.
Book one, yeah.
And, you know, book zero is a completely different thing. But book one being that's the story they told at the very beginning, you know, and it didn't have the luxury of being built upon other stories and being built upon experience as well. So, like, the original story was very much bad guy orcs invade, humans defend, and how does that work? And then they added the layers of, like, okay, who are these orcs? Why are they invading? And then they worked on that. And I'm not, like, a lore nut or anything, but I think that's the beauty of where Battle for Azeroth comes in, is, like, this is the first expansion for WoW where they've really said, nope, there's no world, as of right now, there's no world-ending bad guy that you have to unite to fight. This is old-school alliance versus horde, which has not been the case in World of Warcraft since, well, World of Warcraft. Every expansion has been some bigger evil. There's always these land grabs and the little alliance versus horde type shenanigans, but in this case, it's the first one where they are at full-scale war. Like, everybody is up in arms, you know. There's obviously some world stuff happening where your character is like, okay, like, I'll get back to the war, but we're going to focus on this. But it's just different, and I know a lot of people are frustrated by that difference, and some people are embracing it, but honestly, at the end of the day, like, they have to swing us back to the world scenario, you know, that we all band together. But we'll see. I don't know. I haven't gotten very far. I've only done one zone on the Alliance side, so I'm working on my second right now. So.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I think I'm going to continue to live vicariously through friends and people on Twitch for World of Warcraft, because I can play it on the Mac. Like, it's one of the few video games that I actually can have access to. Sadly, the one that I really want to play and have been living vicariously through Twitch streaming is No Man's Sky.
And, right.
I purchased it. It was $33 or something Canadian on Steam 2 weeks ago. I have since returned it. It went the return, as far as Steam goes, went through no problem. I still have yet to see the the money come back to my credit card, but that they said that might take a couple days. But I got the receipt back from Steam saying like, hey, this is fine. Because the game was registering as me having played 1 minute, and that wasn't true. That was just the install time and then the attempt to play it, and then it failed. But I tried to run it on Wine on my Mac, which for those of you that don't know is an emulator for PC games. And unfortunately, Wine is not ready for DirectX 11 nor 64-bit processing stuff. So it won't work. And it won't work in time for me to keep that around. And what was the other thing? The other option was for me to install Windows, but that's going to cost me $150. And it changes that $30 game into a $200 game, which just for one game, not worth it. If I was a web developer and, you know, I needed to have Windows, it would have already been on my machine and then it wouldn't have been a problem. But so I've not been able to play. I have, however, been watching a fair bit of Twitch and trying to find some streamers. And I have been frustrated with the level of, insert nasty word here, people that stream this game. I seem to find all the people I don't like. However, I have managed to find a diamond in the rough, and her name is Cherry Ray, Cherryrae. She's a Canadian, actually. I think via Britain, but she's in Canada. And her stream is super chill. She's very engaged with the chat room. She is very into No Man's Sky and very new to it. Well, I say very new. She's relatively new. So she's learning a lot and she's asking chat for advice. She's like, and it's this really great play of like, there's no spoilers. She doesn't want to get spoiled. Don't tell me how to do it, but tell me how this works so I can figure out how to do it myself sort of vibe. So I've been learning a fair bit about the game and I didn't realize you could build a base in the game and all this kind of stuff. But Cherry Ray on Twitch, she is delightful. I think there might be some adult language in her chat and in her stream. I can't really recall. It's not crazy to the point where you're like, oh gosh, she swears a lot. But her chat rules are pretty similar to most people. It's like no racism, no sexism, no homophobia, blah, 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 blah. There's nothing about no swearing. So I'm assuming it's probably okay. Just in case younger listeners might want to go check her out. But yeah, I really quite enjoy it. And I really wish I could play this game.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of those games that because you're into Minecraft, I feel like you would really dig. And the thing is, though, about No Man's Sky is this is 2 years in where this update has hit the next update. And I have a feeling that this game's going to have a longer tail. Like, I think what we've seen from the developer is that they've hit that. This is the 1.0 that we know you all expected and that we know we always wanted to achieve. This was always the idea, is right, to hit this achievement of the next update. And now they're introducing like weekly content and sort of community goals and stuff.
Multiplayer stuff.
So going forward,
Multiplayer stuff now too.
Yeah, there's multiplayer stuff. So going forward, I could see it. I see it adding more and more. So as you build up that case for building or buying Windows and putting it on your Mac, which you know a lot of people do for gaming purposes, finding a used PS4 for that matter. Although I would recommend it on PC. I'm playing on PS4. It's got some performance issues.
Okay.
Not to say Windows on your Mac. I mean, I don't know. I've never run Windows on a Mac. I doubt that would affect, because it's got to have an NVIDIA card in your Mac, right? Like it's an iMac, right?
No, it is not an NVIDIA. It is AMD.
Okay, as long as it's not an onboard video card, you should be fine.
No, it's a separate video card. I'm just going to check right now while you keep on talking about No Man's Sky.
Yeah. So it's interesting because it should run fine. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is basically they will keep adding to this game. So the next update that comes around in the next, you know, 3 to 6 to even a year, you could see yourself being at the point of being able to purchase it and play it. What I'm trying to say is basically this game isn't going anywhere. They're not going to, and I haven't hit this milestone and they're suddenly going to disappear. So if you hold off on this update, there will be another opportunity to probably buy it on the cheap and get it on sale and play it for yourself. But yeah, it's got, it's so much, to me, it feels like Minecraft, but in a world that is encouraging you to not just explore the planet you're on, but explore the universe and not stay in one place.
Yeah.
Now there is some base building, so you might find a planet you really, really dig, and you might want to just lay roots. And when you lay roots there and build a, you know, build a base, you can warp all over the place. So you can build a warp back to your home base, but still continue to explore the universe.
Nice.
And that's the real cool part, is that there's always something to do. And I'm just looking at the patch notes that they put out for next, and it's like, there's stuff on here that I still haven't been able to do. Like, I haven't had a chance to, you know, figure out the freighter stuff. I haven't got that far. I actually restarted since they've changed the game so much. So I just restarted my playthrough, and I've just been enjoying the early game and the amount of stuff they've changed in the early game to kind of address some of the issues.
Well, and it scratches all the itches that I really like about video games. You know, like, I mean, obviously the big game that I'm putting a lot of time into right now is Minecraft, and it has the same sort of like, just what's over that next hill, and like, what can I do, you know, in terms of crafting and building a base and moving a base and changing locations and doing all that kind of stuff? Not necessarily as fast, I don't think, as you can move around in No Man's Sky, but certainly, you know, the same sort of vibe. Unfortunately, you're still on this one world. You can't really travel to different planets in Minecraft, although, man, would that be cool. But yeah, like, I really dig the whole crafting system, and I like getting under the hood of your spaceship. Like, you get your spaceship and then you can upgrade the blasters or the you know, the shields or the, like, I know, I don't even know all the technical terms because I don't want to get them wrong, but there's just so many different modules on this particular thing on the inside that you can change, in addition to like collecting other ships. Like, is it a Type S ship? Is that like the really rare kind?
I'm not actually sure. I just purchased I pre-purchased, and I think I'm using that ship right now. But there are a vast, you know, huge variety of ships.
Oh man, and some of them look really neat. Like, I was watching, I can't remember his name. Maybe it was Deathridge. It's another Canadian guy, and his ship was essentially, it looked very similar to a B-wing from Star Wars. It was a ball. And when it landed, it had three wings that kind of came off of it. But when it took off, two of the larger wings would fold together and connect. So it was basically like a ball with a short wing on one side and a long wing on the other. And they would rotate around it as he flew. Like, it didn't fly straight up and down or sideways. It was just kind of like, however he was steering, the wings would rotate around the ball like a gyroscope sort of thing. It was wicked. Because I, up until that point, all of the ships that I had seen, they had various tweaks and little things on them, but they all sort of looked like a Star Fox X-Wing, kind of like long nose, wings out to the side. Not necessarily an airplane, but very similar to it, like a cockpit with wings. But some of them that I've seen now have been really bizarre looking in a good way. I really like the character designs. Like, I can't remember if I've mentioned this on the show before, but one of the people that I saw on Twitch, their character was basically a ball of energy in a suit. Like, his head was just electricity in a little orb floating around over the collar of a shirt, which was like just really imaginative and fun. Sort of reminds me of the ghost guy from Hellboy. You know, like, it was really, really cool and different that you could just decide, like, I don't want to look like anything. I want to look like a ball of energy. I'm assuming you could probably control the color of that. Like, are you more yellow or blue or whatever? But like, it was really cool to see that level of immersion that they're trying to do for people.
Yeah, they've done a really interesting job. Even when the game launched, I found the aliens to be quite imaginative. I thought,
yes, I mean, yeah, no, the character designs that I've seen have been really cool. Cartoony, but not too cartoony. Like, it's got a comic book vibe, not necessarily like a Lilo and Stitch vibe, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it makes sense.
And now that I've found it, it is a Radeon Pro 575. That's what's in my Mac.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's a good. I mean, I got it because of the art. Like, you know, I'm designing in Lego books and I'm doing art and illustration and painting. Like, I need something that was going to keep up. The issue usually runs with Macs, usually runs into the engines and stuff like that. I think I mentioned it last time. It's the metal engine on a Mac is different than like DirectX and other stuff. It depends on how it affects how games are coded. And basically, Apple has made it a pain in the butt for developers to develop for Mac. So people don't do it unless it's like a retro indie game. Then, you know, I say that. And what was the game? One of the games on my list that I really liked and I didn't finish. Borderlands 2. Mm-hmm. I can play that on a Mac. I don't have to worry about Windows for that. Like that, I could absolutely play on this Mac if I wanted to. Which I might,
yeah.
You know, just for a change of pace from Minecraft, I might do that. But yeah, it sounds like you're really enjoying No Man's Sky.
I am, yeah. No, it's been a nice change of pace. You know, we talk about,
yeah.
I mean, that's why I've been enjoying being back in World of Warcraft. Is it offers this passive experience where I can just relax and play the game. And this was something else I was talking to my friend. Like we both have two young children and you know, we work full time and you get home and take care of the kids and they finally go to bed. It's like, okay, like what do I do now? And the last thing you want to do is play like Assassin's Creed Origins, where there's 60 different systems all on top of each other and the combat system's cumbersome and you're listening to dialogue, you're reading stuff. And it's like, okay, I can't do this right now, but with No Man's Sky or Battle for Azeroth, I can put my podcasts on. Mm. I can do both at the same time. Nice. I'm so behind on my podcast. I've got like 100 episodes of podcasts, and I'm one of those like collectors that just can't. I can unsubscribe from a podcast if I feel that I will never listen to this, you know, again. But I just can't delete episodes for the life of me. You know, I gotta really convince myself. So that's why WoW has been nice, is I'm slowly chewing through my podcast. And I did the same thing with No Man's Sky not too long ago, where I've just been listening to podcasts as I explore space. Because there's no real, there's nothing in No Man's Sky that you'd be listening to that is critical to the experience. Because it's all fake language and the music's great, don't get me wrong, but it also adds to the podcast as well, because like when you listen to a podcast, it's mostly talking, and the music in No Man's Sky is all like background,
mm-hmm.
soft stuff. Indie, yeah. Sort of, yeah.
Cool. I mean, you can even just RP it and just like, you know, I'm gonna put a podcast on the radio on my, but the intergalactic radio.
I'm tuning into Earth.
Yeah, tuning into Earth. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I actually took the time this weekend to chill out and watch a movie. It's been a long time since anything has grabbed my attention enough that I wanted to just spend the 2 hours in front of Netflix and watch it. I watched I Kill Giants, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes and well, the trailer and stuff like that. I'm going to be careful not to talk about it too much outside of highly recommending it. It was a very, very good film. Indie film, so it's not like a blockbuster or anything like that. Trying to think about the best way to describe it. And basically, in the author's words, so it's based on a graphic novel of the same name by Joe Kelly and J.M. Kim. I want to say Nimura is how you pronounce his name, or Nimura. But in Kelly's words, it's a story about a girl who is a bit of an outsider. She's obsessed with Dungeons and Dragons. She doesn't have a lot of friends. She's a bit of a social misfit. She's taken her fantasy life a little too far, and she's convinced that giants are real and are coming, and it's her responsibility to stop them when they show up. And we see things from her point of view, and I can't stress how important that is in the grand scheme of the story. It is complex. It is very well told right up until the end. And I was immediately pulled in. It's not one of these kids movies like, and I don't want to sound like, I'm not saying anything bad about something like Harry Potter or Hunger Games. Not that those are kids movies, but like the YA movies. It's not that kind of thing. It's a much deeper, much more meaningful story than just mm-hmm. this girl killing giants. You do get to see some giants. It's a very kind of unique version of giants, but she explains that. The main character, Barbara, who's played by Madison Wolf, runs into a young girl by the name of Sydney. Sophia. Sydney Wade is the actor, but Sophia is the name of the character in the movie. And so she is explaining to Sophia like what giants are and why they're important and why she has to do all these things to keep them away, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And through that kind of exposition, you kind of realize, wow, this is really deep. Barbara is an artist. She's always doodling in sketchbooks and stuff like that. But she's also making multiple trips throughout the episode to, or not the episode, throughout the film, to the school psychologist, who's played by Zoe Saldana. For those that don't know, that's Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy. Uhura from Star Trek. But she also does a fantastic job in this movie. All of them do. Madison Wolf is a wonderful, wonderful actor. She's probably 16. I think she's playing more of a 13, 14 year old in this film, but I think the actor is around 16. She's phenomenal, as is Sydney Wade, a young British actor. And there's no kid acting. Like, there's no roll your eyes, oh my God, please make it stop happening. It's a very serious film with some whimsical, framework. And I wouldn't necessarily say that it's okay to watch with your kids. It's one of those things that your kids would need to be teenagers, I think. Because it has some very, not dark, but there's some exploring of the human psyche in the film. And I don't know that kids under 10 would really understand it. It wouldn't necessarily be scary, but it's definitely weird in ways that would kind of like irk people maybe. Mm-hmm. I can't really say too much more about it other than just watch it for yourself. Thoroughly enjoyable. It's a unique film, which these days is hard to do. My only complaint about the whole thing, and it's a technical thing, not an artistic thing, but the movie kind of dragged on a bit at the end. There was two or three different ways that they could have ended it, and instead of choosing one, they showed you all three. So it was very much like Return of the King, where you felt like it ended and it fades and then it fades back in and there's more. It's like, I thought that was the end. And there was at least two points where I thought the credits were going to roll and they just didn't. So that I found it took me out of it just that little bit at the end. But I'm curious as to what people think, if that really bugs them or if it's something that they can just kind of forgive. I feel like I can forgive it. I gave it a 4 out of 5 stars on Netflix just because it was a really, really well done movie. Had you heard about this at all?
I haven't. No, this is brand new. I've never. Is it a Netflix original? I always assume.
No, I saw the trailer. I saw the trailer last year, sometime shortly after Comic-Con 2017, I think. Mm-hmm. Because it's based on a graphic novel, it got a lot of attention in and around the comic scene, the comic convention season last year. I might have even saw it when I was on vacation, watching stuff on my phone or something like that. I can't remember exactly where I was, but no, it's like an indie produced thing. I can't remember exactly the name of the production company. None of them I remembered. It was R&C Productions, and there was three or four logos at the beginning of the film, so that it took quite a few people to put it together. But I was pleasantly surprised that Zoe Saldana was in it, though. So obviously she had read the script or read the graphic novel and was quite taken by it. And it's an important story. It really is. It's don't be fooled by the sci-fi fantasy Dungeons and Dragons description. It really is a lot deeper than that. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a fantastic job. Another actor that's in it is, and I'm going to pronounce her name incorrectly, Imogen Poots, I think is her name. She's also very good. And an indie film that she did a while ago, just kind of as an aside, is A Country Called Home, which has a very similar kind of message in terms of family and psychology and emotion. And I found it interesting that the last film that I saw Poots in was that particular one called A Country Called Home. And then I saw her in this one most recently. She seems to have a penchant for this kind of project, which I thought was really cool. But that's it for my small screen. Anything on your Netflix, regimen?
Well, I've been dabbling sort of, it's, go back to the time commitment thing. I haven't been watching a lot of Netflix, but there are these, also talking about being unable to stop watching, a series until it concludes. Orange is the New Black came back, and I've been watching that on Netflix, episode by episode with Ashley. It's one of the few shows that will, you know, that kind of work for both of us that will watch it. I don't know, something about the drama in that show just, and the comedy, it just kind of clicks across the board. There are like weaker episodes where they focus too much on, you know, the violence or just the outrageousness of it's really hard to tell, you know, because it's based off of this woman's experience in woman prison, and it's hard to tell what's now fact and fiction. I don't know a lot about the prison system. I know people who are guards in the prison system, and I can tell you right now that they don't appear to be as big of an asshole as the people, as the guards in this show. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think all the characters are ratcheted up to 11, so maybe you get like the highest peak of every person, and just nobody's normal in this show. But it's entertaining. It's an entertaining show, and it's on season 6, which is hard to believe. It's one of the
original. Notes, I was like, what? That's crazy.
Yeah, well, it's one of the original Netflix originals, right? That kind of sparked the service.
That's true, and, right?
I was actually looking at, you know, when House of Cards was coming back for its final season, and all of the
is it really coming back?
Yeah, season 6 is the final season as well. Another one that kind of kicked off the series. Now, obviously, Kevin Spacey is not in the show. I'm sure the first sort of scene will be setting up his exit in whatever fashion. But it's interesting. You know, I think Orange is the New Black is still a show that is doing quite well for the platform. So they're probably going to keep it going, but it's one of those shows that always ends on a cliffhanger, like a pretty major cliffhanger. And then they pick it right back up in the new season. So obviously the season kicks off addressing what happened at the end of season 5. And that has set up the story for the entirety of the season. I haven't really finished it yet. I'm enjoying it. It's more Orange is the New Black. So if you dug it, it is out now. And man, it kind of, I don't binge stuff. Like, I listen to the episodes where Lou's on, and he says, yeah, I finished the whole season. It's like, man, it takes me months to find time.
I can't do it either. When I find something I like, I prefer to be able to not have to think about what to do next. Like, it took me 20 minutes to choose to watch I Kill Giants. Like, there were so many things on my watch list. It's like, do I want to start a new series? Do I want to watch sci-fi? Do I want to watch something I've seen already? You know, like, is it one of those shut my brain off and watch, you know, Doctor Strange again? Or is it like, should I try to find something new? So I can appreciate the non-binge mentality. I very few things lately have been shows that I go through in a binge format. I think the last time I did that was maybe the second viewing of Downton Abbey. But that's a second viewing. So, like, I've seen it all before. So I'm okay with just kind of letting it go on a rainy weekend. But that was ages ago now. Cool. Well, that brings us into the Internet Minute, which is brought to you by you. If you enjoy the Citadel Cafe, one of the best ways for you to support the show directly is to head on over to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. If you decide to become a patron, then you can join the Discord-only chat, as well as get some behind-the-scenes audio podcasts that I put out from time to time. Not every week, but every once in a while, we'll have like an extended chat with a guest. Those go out to patrons only. So that address, again, is patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. And hey, we did it! We have one more patron than we did last month. So I want to give a shout-out to my friend Jonathan Doucette for becoming a new patron. Thanks, man. Very cool to have you aboard. And actually, Jonathan is also playing on the Citadel Minecraft server with us. So that's really cool too. The Internet Minute this week is self-serving and Minecraft related. As I mentioned before on this show, I have started a new podcast with Johnny. He's been on the Citadel Cafe before, also known as Pixel Refs, usually among his Minecraft friends. But we've started the Spawn Chunks, a new podcast that's all about Minecraft. We released episode 2 on Monday, and we have been getting a lot of really positive feedback, and I can't thank the people enough that have been taking the time to listen, review, and spread the word, and telling some friends about the show. So I thought I would do it here as well. I am having a blast talking about Minecraft with Pixel Riffs. So if you are a Minecraft player or you know one, then check out The Spawn Chunks at thespawnchunks.com. It should be available on iTunes soon. Unfortunately, the iTunes submission page has been down for the better part of a week, so there's no way to really get it up there. However, if you are using a Podcatcher app, you can always copy the RSS feed from the website and then paste it into your app manually. You can do that at thespawnchunks.com. There is also an RSS feed for patrons at patreon.com/thespawnchunks. And Johnny even made a video about how to add the RSS feed to an app. So check out Pixel Riffs on YouTube. Check out thespawnchunks.com and let me know what you think. I'm really looking forward to hearing from people about the new show. That brings us to the end of this episode of the Citadel Cafe. If you want to check out some of the notes that Ryan and I talked about today, you can check out thecitadelcafe.com. Music for the show is composed by Kevin MacLeod. And hey, email the show and let us know what you are watching at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I am doing online at joelduggan.com, including my illustration and design portfolio. If you'd like to hire me, then just drop me a line there. Don't forget to check out my other podcast, Comics Coast to Coast, where myself, Brian, and Matthew interview comic creators, illustrators, and animators. Everything across all social media is just my name. I am very easy to find. Ryan, where can people find you and the cool stuff that you are doing online?
Cool. Well, you can check me out on Twitter at rmurphy, where I usually post all my new stuff and all the things I'm doing. I do need to do some housekeeping and kind of update all my standard locations like Twitter and my website with all the new projects. I did tease, I think last time I was on, I was going to have a new podcast. Haven't had time to sort that out. Did have time to record a second episode. I promised both the internet public and my co-host that I'm still working on it. It should be launching very soon, but if you want to keep your eyes peeled on tgistudios.com, you should see a new piece of album art going up there. I just doodled the draft to run by the co-host to say, like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. So going to do that, and it's going to be live soon. And as I think I said before, I teased, it's about, if you enjoyed our conversation at the top of the show, it's basically that it's being a geek and also, you know, being a parent. So it'll be an interesting balance of geek talk as well as parenting talk. So it'll be, I'm looking forward to getting it out there because I want to record episode 3.
You've been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick 2.